for Liza. Those factories had heart pine floors. When I think of all the wood and people we've wasted, the piles of fire-bent metal stacked almost as high as the buildings that burned, I want to make these words into a handmade knife, tapped together in a backyard shed in Bassett or Fieldale, or a skirt sewn without a store-bought pattern, lined with a scrap of golden polyester my grandmother would have prized. Or a bird dog with a mouth so soft no training quail ever died. The loom and the finishing room held us in their spell. The lathe turned and turned, but we didn't listen. We took all the overtime we could get. Annie Woodford. Where you come from is gone. Where you thought you were going to never was there. And where you are is no good unless you can get away from it. Flannery O'Connor. It is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Frederick Douglass. Part 1. Schism. Chapter 1. Precipice. It was June 2023, and Silas James had just graduated from Urbana High School, 41 years after I wore that same insignia. It was a moment that was supposed to be the launching pad for his new identity and new life, as my graduation had been. It was meant to signify a break from the family chaos that had permeated most of his 18 years. Two full scholarships were all teed up and waiting for him at a community college in a nearby city. He planned to become a welder. Companies need welders, he knew. The nation needs welders. The pay was more than anything anyone in his family, save a few drug dealers, had ever made, and this was legit. For Silas, manipulating metal and gas wasn't just a way to get the hell out of Urbana, Ohio. It made him feel like an artist. He'd been so nervous about starting college that when I asked if he took a test drive to Clark State in Springfield, Ohio, the week before, he shot back, 100% I drove an hour away just to practice. After his first class, he called me from the cafeteria. He'd just ordered a chicken quesadilla and a strawberry smoothie, and he was thrilled. He loved that he'd flashed his student ID to the cafeteria workers. He loved the sliding scale health center, and he adored Tony, the mentor they'd assigned to him as a first-generation college student. Everything you can think of, they have it here, he marveled. He'd even made a potential new friend and a classmate who wore ear gauges the same size as his. And the fact that the college webmaster had posted his photo on the homepage during the first week of school, Silas had never imagined that when he was homeless during long stretches of his junior and senior years of high school, nearly dropping out several times. But on the third day of class, the head gasket blew on his Saturn Ion, a beater that was older than Silas by 3 years. The car was a goner. The next day, a relative he was staying with was injured in a car accident and left the hospital with a concussion so severe she required around-the-clock supervision, which is how he ended up a college dropout before the end of his first semester's first week. The family organizing and caretaking had fallen to Silas, as it often did. Even his graduation had been a bust. He found himself ruminating on his grandparents, who'd spent 4 days driving from Texas on the back of a single motorcycle for his commencement, only to skip the ceremony because their vision prevents them from driving at night. He hadn't seen them since the 8th grade, and at the restaurant they took him out to for lunch, they barely managed 3 sentences. They seemed burdened to be here, Silas told me. He thought about his favorite high school counselor, Mrs. Flowers, who came to his graduation party at the city park and handed him a card with $100 cash as the skunk of his relative's weed enveloped her. His older sister had gone camping and skipped the festivities altogether. He thought about his truancy officer, Brooke Perry, who'd pulled strings to get the school district to send a van to pick him up from one of his several temporary homes out.